Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
So welcome to the Future Today Prophecy Meeting. And we're going to jump right in to this. So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. We love talking about Revelation, right? Especially when it comes to, you know, prophecy and things like that, because there's tons of cool stuff in there. So we've got right now in the world, we have war, full on war in the Ukraine by Russia. And then there's the rumor of war or the threat of war in Taiwan by China. And that's just the only place. There are rumors and rumors of war everywhere. But as we see it going on, being lived out, you know, all around us, Jesus' words in Matthew 24:6 ring loudly. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And we might wonder, when we see all this stuff going on, we see conflict in our own country, see all kinds of stuff going on, will there ever be peace? And, you know, depending on your home life, you might be asking that question at home, too. Will there be peace in this house? And the simple answer is no. Not until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes his kingdom on the earth. I referred to the second coming in our morning message. But in Revelation 19... we see that second coming described to us, and then in Revelation 20 begins by telling us that something else will happen before there is peace on the earth. So we're going to pick it up in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Somebody say, finally. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Satan has been somewhat free. He's only free to the degree that God allows him to be free, to deceive this world and to take away peace since the Garden of Eden. Since the very beginning, he's been actively taking away. The airport's a little busy today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." When's he doing that? Right now. He's been doing it since the garden. He'll continue doing it until God sends an angel, grabs him by the nape of his neck, or however he's going to do it, chains him up, locks him into the pit for 1,000 years. So he's going to be cast into this pit. And that'll be the first time since the fall that humans will be without the external influence, the influence of evil, the evil of Satan. And after the devil is bound, the earth is free, will be free from all external influences on wickedness, sin, and evil. Because a time is coming where sin will not be tolerated on the earth. In verse 4, it says this, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image." I thought I was lost there for a second. What am I talking about? "And received his mark on their foreheads of their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The Old Testament has a lot to say about about this time, about the time that Christ is going to reign on the earth, this period that we're going to refer to as the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. The Old Testament says a lot about it, and we don't get a ton of it in Revelation or the New Testament, so we really have to go back to get, you know, some of the main things back in the Old Testament. We're going to get to that, but this is the first occurrence of the duration of that earthly kingdom of Christ, 1,000 years. So he's going to rule for 1,000 years on the earth. And then after that, there's going to be the eternal kingdom, the glory, the kingdom of glory. That's a different thing, different topic. But this is going to take place, this 1,000 years where Christ rules and reigns on the earth will take place after the period of time referred to as a tribulation. I talked about that earlier today too. The tribulation period is 7 years where God pours out his wrath upon a wicked, God-hating, Christ-rejecting world and does what he said he was going to do. He's been promising to send this judgment upon the earth, and it's going to come. It's going to take 7 years. It's going to be limited to 7 years so that all life isn't wiped out on the planet. And that's what he says. Easy there. So that's going to happen, and judgment's going to fall, and billions of people will enter into eternity separated from God during this time. Terrible, terrible judgments. As we've been studying through the book of Revelation, we're going to be getting into these last sets of judgments starting this week. And I've been talking about throughout it, you see expressions of God's grace. Because he doesn't judge all of humanity all at once. He keeps giving them chance after chance after chance to repent and to return to him. But those chances are coming to a rapid close, starting in chapter 15. So at the end of the 7 years, and when Jesus does come, he will judge all unbelievers, all the lost will be lost. Hey, great to see you guys. And then this millennial kingdom will begin, this thousand-year reign of Christ, when there will be people on the earth. And the question, well, who are they? Well, there'll be two basic groups. It will be Jews, because one of the purposes of the tribulation period is to prepare the Jews for their Messiah. They will look upon him whom they pierced, and they will all turn to Christ in this radical transformation. We see that described to us in Zechariah 12:10. I will pour on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Then is this the second coming, they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Right now, Israel, for the most part, they have rejected Christ, most of them. There are a few Jews that have received Christ, and many Jews are completely lost. They don't even believe in God anymore, even though God has been such an important part of it. They've rejected their Messiah. They're waiting for something, for those that even have any clue of God and what their scriptures, our Old Testament, tell them about him. But they're pretty much a godless, secular society, you know, not that different than our own. So one of the purposes of the tribulation period is to get them ready for their Messiah. Isaiah 11:11 says this: "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the seas." So he's going to draw the Jews back into a right relationship. He will present himself as their Messiah, and they will believe. And so that is going to come at the second coming. Second group that are going to go into the thousand-year reign of Christ are non-Jews. And these are non-Jews. These are Gentiles who trusted in Jesus during the tribulation period. Now, there may be some Jews mixed in there, but for the most part, they're non-Jews. And so some will survive the persecution of the Antichrist. Many Christians will be will be martyred during that time, many, many of them, but some will survive, and they will go into this period that we refer to as the millennium. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11, because again, this is where we're going to get a lot of the details we get about this period, and a lot of them comes here from chapter 11. I've already read one verse out of it, but that John doesn't give us a lot of details about this, and so we have to go to other places to get it. But here in Isaiah, we get some fascinating details, and we don't have time to get into all the details. If you want to do that, come to the Tuesday morning Bible study, and we'll get into it once we get to that place. But starting in here, in verse 1 of chapter 11, says this: "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots." That's speaking of Christ. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." This is the glorified Christ that will step down upon the earth on the Mount of Olives, that we're told. He will step down on the Mount of Olives, and at that point, he is going to judge the final judge, not the final judgment, the judgment of those who are still alive, the wicked on the earth, they will be judged. And then we get a description of this time. "The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together." Cow and the bear, I don't know what I actually said there. "And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play with it by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." So what we see described here is something's going to change. There's going to be, in this period of time, the very nature of nature is going to change. The character of the created things are going to change. And not just the animals, but all of creation will go through an overhaul, if you will. And the whole world will go back to a time that is probably just like it was before the fall. So back to the Garden of Eden, where the world was at peace with itself and one another, and the animals didn't eat one another, and they didn't eat people, and people didn't even eat them. All of that's going to be going on at that time. That, you know, anybody heard the phrase, "the lion and the lamb shall lie down together"? You know, that's not actually in the Bible. It doesn't actually say that. That actually is a song. I can't remember who played it, but it's a song. And so it really freaks people out. Wait a minute, they changed the Bible. No, some songwriter just created a different lyrics, but this is where it is. All these animals are not going to be going after one another. And so that's kind of a cool thing. Verse 9. "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the seas cover, as waters cover the sea." I'm trying to get done so that Randy doesn't get mad. Everyone's going to know God. Everyone. Everyone on earth is going to know God. And not just a cursory kind of, I believe there's a being in the universe. No, they're going to believe this God. And the whole world will know him. Isaiah 66 tells us that some other interesting things, like one of them is the human lifespan is extended. That people literally, it says, will live as long as trees, right? Trees live a long time. You know, there's some trees that have been around since the time of Christ. You know, the really long-lived things. So what, you know, the interpretation of it is that there will be some people, these people go into the tribulation period, that nature changes. God resets nature. It used to be that people lived for a super long time. You know, Methuselah lived for 976 years or something like that. It's going to be changed back to that, and people will live for a long time. Some may, who go into the tribulation or into the millennium, may actually live for the entire millennium and see the beginning of it and the end of it. and they're going to be strong and healthy. Most of us would say, okay, once I get past about, you know, Randy's age, that's it. I don't want to go any further than that. Happy birthday, Randy. He has a birthday tomorrow. So everybody say happy birthday to Randy.
And Pastor Rick had one yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's old news now. Okay, so.
And Pastor Gabriel in Indonesia has one today.
Today. And his son is the day after, right?
Day before.
Oh, day before. Okay. Yeah, so we were out there and all of us had our birthday at the same time. It was kind of cool. Anyways, the millennium is a fascinating time. And it's going to be a time of perfect peace on the earth. And it's going to be different. It's not going to be a peace that is born out of the heart of the people. It's going to be a peace that is mandated by God himself. God is going to not allow the stuff that goes on in the world today. And the only reason people won't be at peace is because they still all have sin natures, and they'll still have the temptation to do wrong things. But in that particular time, judgment will be very, very quick, and people will not be allowed to sin. And so this environment of perfect peace is on the earth during the millennium. The perfect peace comes later in the glorious kingdom after this. But there cannot be peace on the earth until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes his kingdom on this earth. So until then, we have to put our trust in Jesus. And we got to be careful not to get too freaked out by the things we see going on around us. Okay, they bother us. They should bother us. It should bother us, some of the things that are going on in the Ukraine right now. A lot of the things going on there. And a lot of the suffering that's going on in connection with it. And not to mention, you know, the issues that will be going on within our own nation before too long and other stuff going on. But whenever we start getting freaked out, what we need to do is Paul suggests. So here in Philippians 4, I quote this one a lot. Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. In those times when we're not at peace, when there is no peace, and we can't even see how there can be peace, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The problem, the reason why we lose our peace and we start getting restless, we start getting, you know, kind of distracted and all of that, is because we don't do verse 6. You have to do verse 6 if we want to experience verse 7. We have to allow the peace of God, which comes by choosing not to be anxious based upon the truth and the word of God, and allowing the Spirit of God to bring the peace that only he can provide us. And by laying all of our stuff at the feet of Christ through prayer, doing it with thanksgiving, recognizing that we have much to be thankful, even in the hard times of life, and we go to God and we ask him for what we need. We do that, and we do it with faith, then the peace of God can operate within our lives, even in these times of distress and struggle. So the world may not be at peace, but we can. God's people should be at peace. Even when the world is at war, even when the world's in chaos, even when the world is losing its mind and going in directions and doing things that are just absolutely abominable, we should be at peace. And we can be if we put our trust in Christ. Amen? Pastor Randy.
So Pastor Rick and I had wanted to talk about the millennial kingdom, because there's a lot of questions about that. And so we'll take some of those questions a little bit later. But what Pastor Rick shared was that the Old Testament is full of prophetic information. And one of the things the Lord showed me this week as I was studying was out of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, I don't know if you remember this, but Samuel is about to die. In fact, the people came to him and said, you're old. You know, get out. And your sons, they don't even know who God is. And so we want a king. And what's interesting about that, if you go back just a little bit into Judges, when Gideon was about to be made king, Gideon said to them and to the Israelites in Judges 8:23, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. So Gideon was telling them that it's not about a man ruling over them. It's about God ruling over you. And so as Samuel became the last judge, they came to him and they didn't see anybody else that was coming forward to be their judge, somebody to lead them and rule over them. And they said, we want a king. And if you remember what happened in 1 Samuel 8, Samuel was offended by that because he thought he was being rejected. But what God said is, no, it's not about you, it's about me. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Now, I share that with you because I want you to think not just about what the Jews, Pastor Rick said that, you know, Israel is carnal country now, but think about the world. The world is basically rejecting Creator God, totally, yeah. Totally. And they're looking for what? A ruler. Yeah. You know, now we've known that as Christians for a long period of time, that there will be an Antichrist, but the world hasn't really talked about that. And now, if you look in all over the place, what you hear are people talking about a one world leader. You know, we talked last time about the Great Reset. We talked about 2030 and Event 2021. All of those things are leading towards a new world order, and they're talking about it so openly that you see it everywhere. Well, nothing new under the sun. The fact is that it's not just the Jews that are saying, Lord, we don't want your leadership anymore. We don't want God's leadership at all, and they're rejecting God the Father, looking for the Antichrist. That's important because as we look at the millennial, for the millennial kingdom, there's a thing called the tribulation that's going to come before that. Yeah. And that is something, as we look at the atrocities that are taking place in the Russia-Ukraine war right now, those are nothing compared to what's coming. And so you need to come and sit under Pastor Rick's teaching on Revelation because you're going to hear some of that. But that's important to understand a timeline because prior to that, one thing's going to happen for the church, the rapture. Yeah. We're going to be gone. We're not going to see it. But we need to understand it. And Christ said that you should understand that. Okay, what's happening in that and what's coming. And that's why we do the future today. We want you to hear things that are being talked about from newspaper articles or, you know, articles that come on the internet or whatever else, because that's all I basically share with you. And there's so much stuff that I told Rick I had about 2 hours worth of stuff, and he said he'd kick me if I kept going too long.
I do that anyway. So often. Before you start, just one quick thought on continuing what he said. You know, the world looking for this one world leader. So what are they looking for from this leader? Well, the simple answer is they're looking for peace. They want peace from this one world leader. They think, you know, the world's falling apart. If only we had someone who could bring peace to the world. But the one they want is not the one God sent. And so the Antichrist, when he comes, he is going to come promising peace. And people are going to, they're going to be all excited about it. So that's so important to understand. The world is preparing, is being prepared, being set up to long for and look for this man of peace who is not actually a man of peace. He is a man of deception and corruption, and he will mislead and deceive and will not, he'll give them a sense of peace. He'll give them a false peace. that will be interrupted and will ultimately he'll show his true color. So it's important to understand that's what they're looking for. When they talk about one world government, one world religion, one world economy, everyone is looking for the same thing. They want peace, but they want it without God. And if you can't have peace without God, you can't have peace without Christ. And so they can look for that, but they're not going to get it.
And understand that peace, even though it won't come until later, people are already wanting to embrace it now. And that's why you're going to see some things in what I'm going to share with you that the world thinks that peace is just right out there. I can almost touch it.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.